You're listening to Vatican Radio. On Wednesday, June the 29th, Pope Francis presides at a Mass in St. Peter's Basilica to mark the Feast of the Apostles Peter and Paul, patron saints of the city of Rome. During the Mass, the Pope also blesses the distinctive pallium or woolen band, which is placed around the shoulders of all the new Metropolitan Archbishops who've been appointed over the past year. The feast day of Saints Peter and Paul is also an important ecumenical occasion, as an Orthodox delegation representing the Ecumenical Patriarchate in Istanbul travels to Rome to take part in the celebration. In recent years, the Mass for this feast day has also been enriched by the participation of choirs from other Christian churches, singing together with the Vatican's own Sistine Chapel Choir. This year, a Lutheran choir from Germany and an Anglican choir from Oxford in England will be performing at the Mass and at a concert inside the Sistine Chapel itself on Tuesday evening. To find out more about these musical ecumenical endeavours, I spoke to Mark Spiropoulos, the first Englishman to sing full-time with the Sistine Chapel Choir.
Yes, well, we've had a tradition in recent years of having choirs from different denominations singing together. This is the first time we've had two choirs singing together. We have the Winsbacher Knabenchor from Dresden, and we also have New College Oxford, and New College Oxford are coming back. They were with us from last year, and of course they represent the Anglicans, and the Knabenchor from Dresden represent the Lutheran tradition.
This is the first time the Lutheran choir is coming over, is that right?
We've had other Lutheran choirs, but this is the first time for the Peter and Paul celebration that we have a Lutheran choir.
They'll be singing, you will be singing all together for the Mass, presided over by Pope Francis.
That's right.
There'll also be a concert, I believe, won't there?
That's right. We'll have all the choirs in the Sistine Chapel, and we'll have a big concert there, and we'll sing music from all of the traditions.
Can you give us a sneak preview of what...
Well, I don't know what the Anglicans and the Lutherans are planning, but we will take a step back. We'll probably sing at the beginning of the concert. We'll sing some Gregorian and possibly motet, and then we'll give the bulk of the concert to those two choirs to represent themselves in the Sistine Chapel. And then we'll sing together probably a motet by Palestrina or Orlando di Lasso, something which is common to all the three choirs.
You find this very moving personally, don't you? This fact that
yes.
Music speaks a common language where the traditions are still not united. They can't come together in words, but they can come together in music.
I think music is an extremely useful tool of ecumenism. I think music and the arts generally have a part to play, because music is us at our most honest. It's the most beautiful, our most respectful. It's devoid of any kind of aggression. And invariably when we sing, we can encourage empathy from whoever we're communicating with. So I think it represents us at our very best.
This is part of a growing ecumenical cooperation, isn't it, that
yes.
Maestro Palombella of the Sistine Chapel Choir has been pioneering over the past few years. I'm wondering, is it having an impact on, obviously you feel very strongly about this, but is it having an impact on the other members of the choir? Is it changing in any way the work or the vision of the choir?
Well, the papal singers have always been there to sing for the Pope. Now the Pope is telling them, go out and take our message to other people. And I think that's extremely important and extremely positive, that what we do in the Sistine Chapel is not just confined to the Sistine Chapel, but that we can spread our message and spread our message in that way through music. We've had fantastic collaborations now with Winchester Cathedral this year, with St. James's Church from Sydney and the Moscow Patriarch Choir. And they've been extremely important and very moving events, particularly recently, and then we'll go on to it, with a concert that we did in Wittenberg.
That was part of the plans looking ahead to the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, wasn't
yes, that's
it?
Right.
You travelled
so,
there.
That's right. So a couple of weeks ago, we went to Wittenberg and to Dresden. And of course, 500 years ago was where Martin Luther
wrote his
95 theses, and allegedly he nailed them to the door, very dramatic. This was the seen as the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. And we went to sing there, and we gave a concert in St. Mary's Church where he preached. And it was absolutely packed, is the first thing to say. And the atmosphere was very tense as we walked in. We're there in our vestments from the Sistine Chapel, We didn't go there to preach and to tell people what to do, as other groups have done going back hundreds of years. We went there to show us at our best, to show them what we really think and what we really feel about the faith of the Catholic Church. And because we did that with a sense of dignity and with the beautiful music from this tradition, the audience became really quite emotional. And at the end of the concert, when the pastor asked us all to stand and to say the Our Father in their respective languages, there were a lot of tears. Many people came up to us and thanked us personally. So it was a very moving and very important event because we saw each other as people from different backgrounds who may believe and think different things, but nevertheless have come to those conclusions with honesty and a good conscience and a tradition of their own.
It corresponds also very much to what Pope Francis calls the culture of encounter, doesn't it? As you say, this outreach to others within the Christian tradition.
Yes, it's extremely relevant. And it's not just relevant, I mean, it's extremely important. Okay, you know, the 30 Years' War was 400 years ago, but I'm from the UK, so are you. There's a part of our country, namely Northern Ireland, where the difference between Catholic and Protestant in certain parts of Belfast, if you walk into the wrong community, they don't ask you, are you British or Irish, they ask you, are you Catholic or Protestant? This kind of ecumenism is so important because when we get it wrong, we can get it spectacularly wrong and the consequences are devastating. We have to get it right and we have to continue to get it right. And music is a great tool in that process.
You've talked about some of the plans that you've had over the past few months. What about plans for the future? What else have you got lined up? I know this is an ongoing project.
It is an ongoing project. I can't say too much at the moment, but I know that we are planning with some cathedrals in the UK to carry on the Anglican connection. And I believe that there's more going on with Germany, and I hope that there will be connection more with Russia as well.